I didn't have the privilege of being born in the faith. I was, as it is said here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, I was in darkness, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I was indeed in darkness. I was worshiping with my parents, ancestors, believing in the Spirit. I was totally lost in darkness. But by the grace of God and through miracles, God has led me to know the true God. I worshiped the wrong God, but God led me to the true God, that means himself. And then I became a church goer. And then I decided then to be part of this denomination. And one day God called me to be a minister. And I was getting ready to be a minister in that denomination. And one day I went out and I heard a voice behind me saying, since you are going to spend all your life preaching, make sure that you preach the truth. And I understood that I need to study the Word of God more. I need to search for the truth. That is my journey. My journey is a journey of searching. I was lost in darkness, and I was searching, and God led me to the true God. And now, God led me to the true church, to the remnant church. And after studying the Word of God, I decided then to suspend that preparation to go into the seminary with the other denomination. I said, okay, I need to study the Word of God. That was the time when I didn't know about the health message. Since I was working and studying at the same time, the time I had was from 9 p.m. to midnight. So studying the Word of God, asking God to help me to find the truth. After 6 months of searching, of studying the Word of God, I had this strong conviction again. Say the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the remnant church. But I've never met an Adventist then. I've never seen an Adventist church. So I was praying and I realized that I need to make contact. And I knew that there was a program they have, they call it the Voice of Prophecy. And that was a weekly program, a radio program. And I heard that the lady, the announcer, gives the address of that program. And I listened, and I got the address. I wrote to the director of the program, the Voice of Prophecy program, and he was so prompt, he answered right away. And he said, 72 miles from where you live, there is an Adventist minister. And they gave the address. And then right away, I wrote a letter. And it was prompt as well. And we started to communicate. And I studied the Bible, continued to give me a Bible study. And eventually, I became a Seventh-day Adventist member. And then instead of going to that denomination, I went into the Adventist school to prepare myself to serve the Lord as a minister. And I became a minister, and I knew that we are not just wait for his coming, but also to hasten his coming. And that's why I continued my searching. I searched for the true God. I searched for the true church. Now I need to find from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy the key to finish the preaching of the gospel. And I had this, I call them holy passions or dreams. I have three of them that developed from that love to finish the preaching of the gospel. The first one is I just want to be like Jesus. I know I'm still far, very far, but I know one thing. I would like to be like Jesus, to speak like him, to have his mind, to have his heart. And I've been looking, searching how to be like Jesus. And the second one is to finish the preaching of the gospel in this generation. Not the next one, but in this generation. And the third one is to have, I call this a direct flight. Direct flight to be alive when Jesus comes. Not having a layover under the ground or a stopover, but from here, direct flight to be alive when Jesus comes. Of course, that is beyond my control. It ups to God. But if I am given a choice, I really would like to be alive when Jesus comes. The most important, though, is to be part of God's people to spend eternity with him. So I've been looking, searching for decades. What is the key to have a victorious life? To be like Jesus. What is the key to finish the preaching of the gospel? Not to delay further, but to hasten the coming of Jesus so that we can spend eternity with him. So I've been praying. The way I did to search for the true God, the way I did to search for the true church, I am also applying the same method, just studying, praying, studying the Bible and the spirit of prophecy for years. I'm not the only one. I know you too. You do the same. I really want Jesus to come. When you look around, we should be tired of this world. We need to see him soon. We need to spend eternity with him. So what is the key? What is the key? What is the biblical formula for us to be stronger as Christians and for us to be able to hasten his coming, not just wait, but to hasten his coming? Allow me to share with you one of those things that I've studied. I don't pretend to have an exhaustive or something special, but as I spend time on my knees and studying the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, I'm so convicted that the teaching today, if we understand this topic and apply in our lives will never be the same. And we will be used by God to finish the preaching of the gospel in this generation, and Jesus will come. And that's why the title is, Teach Us How to Count. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is the time for you to speak to us. I'm just a poor vessel, frail. But I would like you to take over right now, that this service will not be just a routine, but it will be a life-transforming experience for all of us. Speak now, Lord. We are listening. In the name of Jesus, amen. In Psalm 90, verse 10, talks about the brevity of life. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And then in Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5 said, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Therefore, there is the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 90, verse 12. We know this. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to number or to count. You know, counting is very important in life. You know, in some countries where illiteracy is still high, many people, they don't know how to write, they don't know how to read, but they know how to count. I remember our grandchildren, one of them especially was so proud, because he could count from 1 to 10. He was still small. He didn't know how to write, didn't know how to read, but he was able to count. So counting is a basic skill in life. So when the psalmist says, teach us how to number, definitely he knew how to count. But the counting here definitely is a different kind of counting. That means teach us how to count. Another word, we may be grown up and probably we need to learn how to count, because counting might be we may count wrongly. We may count rightly. And I'm telling you today that it depends on how we count our days, that we will be stronger as Christians and we will be stronger as a church to finish the preaching of the gospel. Hence, we need to study the right way to count our days, the right way to number our days. Well, what is this wrong way to count? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Underline the word, you do not know. So, counting wrongly the days already is to think that we know. We know about tomorrow. We are sure about tomorrow. He said, well, I must leave tomorrow. You will find me next month. And we are so sure of it. The Bible says that is boasting. That is arrogance, because we don't know for sure. What we know is now. What will happen this afternoon? I don't know. What will happen tomorrow? I don't know. I can just think. I can just imagine. I can just plan. But I cannot say for a fact that I will be around tomorrow. Some people, they went to bed. They did not wake up. You and I, we are here today. Not that we are better than them, but God still has a plan for us. But some, they started this year, they are no more. They planned, but it didn't happen. So, counting wrongly is to have this attitude of thinking for sure that tomorrow is sure, that I will be around. And James said so. Come now, who you say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas, here again the word, whereas you do not know. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now, the apostle said, now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So the wrong way to count is having this attitude of arrogance according to the Bible. It is arrogant and it is boasting. We do not know. So wrong way to count our days, number our days, is to be arrogant, to know for a fact that I will be around. We do not know. Jesus Christ talked about a man in his parable. This is in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? This he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What was the problem of this man? Was it wrong to work hard, to provide for your family, to produce plenty? No. Actually, we are encouraged to work, because the Bible says those who do not want to work, they should not eat. So there is no problem here in for him to have all these things. And if you see the patriarchs, they were very rich. So what was the problem here? The problem here, underline it and put it in bold. He said, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. In his mind, and he said, okay, I will have many years. And he was so sure about it. So in his mind, he will continue, and he said, okay, I have a plenty of time. So what I'm going to do, I will take it easy, and I will have fun. This is what he did. And then that was his first problem. And the second one, he did not lay up treasure for heaven, but it is for himself. He counted his days wrongly. He numbered his days wrongly. Ellen G. White writes in Last Day Events, page 77, one brief day is given you, as if it were your last on earth. Work during its hours for the master. He said, one brief day is given you. Not many days. The only thing to be sure is today, that brief day that we are having now. That is assured. Beyond that, we don't know. And then, in Last Day Events again, page 77, we should watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that would be granted us. We should watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that would granted us. So the wrong way of counting days is that we believe, we are totally sure that this is not my last day. It might not be. Many of us will still be around, I'm praying, tomorrow. But it's possible, too, that this can be our last day. It's very possible. I've seen it. People, we just seen it in the morning, in the afternoon, no more. It's just like this couple, they fought during the night. They really rough to each other. And in the morning, the man needs to go to work. And in his mind, before going to work, I should make this right. I said, no. I am not in the mood now. Maybe when I come back, we'll talk about this. So he went. Unfortunately, he was involved in a car accident, and he died. That afternoon did not happen for him. The last thing they remember as a couple is fighting and abusing. He did not count his days the right way. And that created a problem. So the wrong way to count is thinking that life is long and we have plenty of time. You see, this wrong way of counting our days have a very negative impact on our relationship with God, on our relationship to each other, and on the way we serve God. Here again, Jesus said about this servant in Matthew chapter 24, verse 48, "My master is delaying his coming," said this servant. So in his mind, he was given this task of taking care of the business of the master. Say, okay, I'm leaving, but you are in charge. So he said, well, he will take a long time to come back. That is in his mind. He counted wrongly. And then what he did, he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. So because in his mind, he had plenty of time to be accountable. He had plenty of time. His master will stay longer. And then he has, I don't know, in his mind, probably had months or even years. So during that time, instead of being faithful, he said, well, I have plenty of time. And what he did, he mistreated his fellow servants, and even he had a very bad life. You see, I was guilty of this, of counting wrongly the day. I wanted to meet my sister. Her name is Rauva. It's a local name. We grew up together. Just 2 years difference. I was older, 2 years. So we played together, and we went to school together. We were really close friends. And she was so bright, having kind of photographic memory and strong, athletic, energetic, and really did very well at school. But when she grew up, my mom had another idea. She said, no, you don't need to continue to school. You just stop going to school and maybe waiting for a husband. My dad wanted us to study, but my mom, for her, if you know enough, that's enough. And unfortunately, my sister stopped going to school, and she got married. Unfortunately, she got married to the wrong guy. There was this man was kind of not responsible, not doing the work of a husband, the task. So my sister, they had children, and then she was pregnant, eight months pregnant, or maybe nine. And I passed by to where they lived. And my sister said, he said, my brother, we really need to talk. And she had the burden of taking care of the family, feeding the children, because the husband did not really take responsibility. So she was so tired, she was sick, and she was pregnant. So I passed by, said, listen, I really would like to spend some time, but I was in a hurry. I said, no, my sister, you know, next time we will talk, but right now I need to go. And then, out of almost desperation, she wrote something, a little note, and gave it to me. And I took that note and put it in my pocket and just said, I need help. I need to talk to you, just like that. And then I was busy. After a few days or a week, I received a message that my sister passed with the baby in her womb. And it was found out that it was not necessary. She was in labor, but my brother-in-law just neglected to rush her to the hospital. And she could not make it. I was devastated. And she was just 32. And I have this, I call this 3 G's. I was guilty. That is the first G, guilt. I was so guilty. I counted my days wrongly. I was thinking that I will still have time to spend with her. And instead of maybe spending an hour, if I knew that was the last day I kind of be with her, I would have spent even a day. But I was arrogant. I didn't know. I thought I knew that I would still see her. But I was totally wrong. So I was guilty. And then I grieved. That is the second G. And I had also grudges against my brother-in-law. Said, how come he did that? He should have rushed my sister, and my sister and the baby would have been left. So I kept that in my heart. I kept that note for 2 years in my wallet. I was so devastated. After 2 years only, the Holy Spirit just told me, said, until when you are going to keep this? You need to let this go now. You need to be comforted. I need to ask for forgiveness. You are guilty, and accept the forgiveness of God. And go and forgive your brother-in-law. And I did that. I was free. But I've learned a lesson that you don't know really what will happen tomorrow. You may just guess. You may just plan. Ask me. I know that thinking that you still have a lot of time, the Bible says, it's boasting, it's arrogance, counting wrongly. Counting wrongly has a very negative impact on our relationship with God. We know that we need to spend more time on our knees. We know that we need to confess all our sins. We know we need to surrender everything to God. But we say sometimes, many times, well, I know that, but I will do that tomorrow. Maybe next month I will be better. I will have more time to spend with the Lord. But this time I'm so busy. That has an impact on our relationship with God. Because we think that we will have more time. And then we are guilty, what I called, of delayed obedience or selective obedience. Well, I need to follow this, but this one, I don't want to follow this now. Maybe next year I'm going to follow this. I know this is true, but I have a lot of time to do that. Selective obedience. It's like a buffet type obedience. You select what you want to eat. That is a problem in our relationship with God. And the same thing in our relationship with each other. If I have a problem with someone, I know I need to ask for forgiveness, or I need to forgive. I will say, well, I know I need to make things right, but not now. Maybe next month I will make these things right. Maybe next year. You see, I'm wounded, so I need more time. I need time. But that is not so. That tomorrow may never come. That next month may never come. The Bible says what you have is now, is today. So this kind of thinking that we know what we don't know is very detrimental to our spiritual life. And the same thing when it comes to our relationship with the work of God. Like my sister, she did not die in the faith. For the introduction, but most of the family, I was the first Adventist in my family, even extended family. But to God be the glory, many joined, but my sister did not join yet. If I stayed and she was really in need, that might be the window for her to accept Christ fully. But I didn't. I don't know if I will see her again. God decides that. But I didn't do what I should have done. I should have spent more time with her, just opening the Bible and appealing to her. And then she could have died in Christ. We think that when you see someone, that for sure we will see her or him again. And you said, no, I should. The Holy Spirit said, go and share the good news. He said, no, not now. Tomorrow or next month. So we delay, we procrastinate, thinking that we have a lot of time. And even when it comes to having the power of God in our lives. In the book, Evangelism, page 701, Sister White states, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church is looked forward to us in the future. But it is the privilege of the church to have it now. Seek for it, pray for it, believe for it. We must have it. And heaven is waiting to bestow it. So, because of this mindset of thinking that we have plenty of time, we said, well, I know I really need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know I must be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know that I need to do the preparation, but no, I don't have time for that now. I will postpone that. Maybe next month, I will dedicate my life to the Lord even more. I spend a lot of time studying the Word of God, but not now. You see, if all of us here, we said, well, today is my last day. It's possible that today will be my last day. So I would really pray for God to fill me with the Holy Spirit and God will use me. Do you think what will be the impact of that in our devotional life, in our prayer life, in our relationship among each other? It will change dramatically. Everything. Everything. And in way, we take part in the work of God. Because we know time is short. You see, that is the wrong way. What is the right way? You see, the devil is bad, but at least he's caused something here. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, he said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So the devil knows that he has a short time, and he acts accordingly. So he knows he has just a short period of time. He knows how to count his days. He knows. And what he does in Christian Service, page 54, Satan is a diligent Bible student. He is a diligent Bible student. He studied the prophecies. Probably he is expert in the book of Daniel, in book Revelation, those years. And that's why he knows. He knows that his time is numbered. His time is short. So Satan is a diligent Bible student. He knows that his time is short. And what he does? He seeks at every point to counteract the work of the Lord upon this earth. So he does that. And Satan is now seeking to hold God's people in a state of inactivity. You see, this is what he does, to keep them from acting their part in spreading the truth, that they may at last be weighed in the balance and found wanting. So the devil, he knows. He knows how to count his days, but in the wrong way. To destroy, but not to build. So the wrong way, as we studied here, is to think that tomorrow is assured. Now, what is the right way? The right way is in the book, Last Day Events, page 77. We should watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that would be granted us. So, as we said, we need then to have this conviction, and we need to admit it. We don't like the idea that today might be my last day. We have many plans. I need to do this, I need to do this. So this idea of saying today might be the last day, we don't like it. It's just against our wish. But we need to ask God to help us to follow this, what is written right here. We should watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that we'd granted us. I remember conducting a seminar, and I said, okay, let's do some exercise. Go and sit down and construct your last 24 hours on earth. How you are going to spend, because I take this, this is what Ellen G. White says. Okay, let's act on this now. Go and write how you are going to spend your last day on earth. And I said, if you are free to share, please come forward and share with us how you are going to spend your last 24 hours. And he said, okay, we'll give you now, let's say 15 minutes praying and constructing your last schedule on earth. And I said, okay, we would like to share. And sure enough, many decided to stand, said, okay, this is how I'm going to spend my last day on earth. And it was amazing. Some of them said, look, the first hours, I'm going to spend a lot of time on my knees. I confess all my sins, and I surrender everything. This is what he said. And then the next hours, they said, I'm going to call. I'm going to call my friends, those who are not yet in the faith, my relatives. I'm going to send text, and those who are surrounding me, I'm going to plead with them to accept Jesus. Oh, great. And I said, I will spend, even before that, I'm going to contact those people that I know I wronged them. I hurt them. So I will call. I will write notes or text. And I'm asking for forgiveness. Please forgive me. Because I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And also, I will write also to those who wronged me. He said, okay, I know you have wronged me, but no, you know, this is my last day on earth, so I don't want to go to the grave with that. So please understand that I have forgiven you. I said, wow, this is wonderful. So three things, relationship with God, everything is fine. Secondly, relationship with each other. And then thirdly, you have the sense of urgency to preach the gospel, to share the good news, because you don't have a lot of time. So you kind of focus and strategizing how to use these few hours you have. And I said, wow, amen. And that room was changed. And I said, well, do you believe in the spirit of prophecy? Do you believe in the writings of Ellen G. White? And it is said here, Last Day Events, page 77, we should watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that would be granted us. And he said, okay, don't just put this as an exercise of a calendar. Go do exactly what you have said. With an exception that you need also to follow, occupy till I come. So don't go and resign. Even if you know this is your last day on earth, go and continue to work. If you are a teacher, go and teach. But teach as that will be your last day to teach. Go and preach like that is your last sermon. Go and give Bible studies. Go and do. So continue, occupy till I come, Jesus Christ said. So we need to do that. Be ready every day. If you are right with God today, you are ready if Christ should come today, last day events again. And what you do, you plan. You see, that does not mean that you don't plan. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, he said, plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. So plan and trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And then in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts, in the original, your plans will be established. So you plan. But how do you reconcile the two? The spirit of prophecy solved that problem. In page 77 again, the last day events. Each morning, consecrate yourself and your children to God for that day. Make no calculation for months or years. These are not yours. One brief day is given you, as if it were your last on earth. Work during its hours for the master. So you plan. Said, lay all your plans before God. So you plan, but you lay all your plans before God to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. So you plan, but you say, this is the plan, but I'm not sure if I will be here tomorrow. But I will continue. This will be my last day. But if I'm still around, I will continue. That will be my last day again. So all the days, the 365 days then, if you do that, you live that 365 days as your last day on earth. What will be the impact of that on our lives? It will be productive. It will be positive. It will be impactful. Every day, You cannot say, well, if I prepare today, and what if he doesn't come tomorrow? Oh, I wasted my energy. No, 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 not at all. Ye will be growing. And that is the key to finish the preaching of the gospel. That is the key, actually, to grow spiritually. Every day, you have the sense of urgency. Well, you need to crowd all the good works you possibly can into this life. Let me bring this now to the close. You see, I had another sister who passed. Her name is Nell. I learned my lesson. She was sick, and I spent a lot of time with her. And about 3 years ago, she was dying. The last words in her lips was praying to God. She died in Christ. She's not really dead. She's sleeping right now. I know that I will meet her again. I don't know about the first one, but this one, by the grace of God, I will meet her again. Because, at least for this one, I counted the right way. I spent time making sure that she loves God and there's nothing between us. And I shared the good news. Last year, you know, at Weimar University, we take part in this running. We use this to unite the family and also to raise funds for students' scholarship. So we run, take part. So different kinds of running, and the longest is 72 miles. And it's for the glory of God. I took part 3 times now in the 72 miles around Lake Tahoe in California. So we have the bulk. They do like 5Ks, 10, and then half marathon and full marathon. But few of us, I trained few to run the 72 miles around Lake Tahoe in one day. And Lake Tahoe is a high elevation, like 6,000 to 7,000 feet above sea level. So the oxygen is thin there, and a lot of hills. So we said we need to go there a few days before the run or the race to acclimatize ourselves. So we decided to spend a few days before. And to save on cost, we decided to rent houses during that time. So some people, during that period, they leave their house and they rent and they give you the key. One of my sons, who lives not far from here, pastoring, he decided to come and support me and us, is running. And when we reached that house, we had everything. They give us the key, the plates, the beds, and everything. And then we decided to share the room, my son and I. And we kind of inspected the room, and everything belongs to us during that time. Except there is one closet. It is written, owner's closet, and it was locked. The owner did not want us to open that closet. He did not want us to know what is inside. He did not surrender that one closet. And I said to Paul, my son, Paul, this is a great illustration of a sermon. And I said, what is that closet that I have that I don't want to surrender to God? Or I will surrender it later, not now. My dear friends, Do you have a closet today that you have not surrendered to God? And you said, I will, but not today. I tell you, that day may never come. The time is now. What is this one closet? We need to surrender that now, because tomorrow may never come. We need to make sure that we are okay with God by the grace of God. We need to make sure that the rest of the time we live, we just be together, love one another. And we need to make sure that the time we have, we spend serving Him. And that is the way for us to finish the preaching of the gospel. And we will go home. So this afternoon, God is calling me and calling you to surrender all, everything. What is my response? What is your response? Are we going to say yes to God? If you say yes, would you stand and tell Jesus, I count wrongly many times. Please forgive me. But teach me how to count my days from now on. There's no more delaying. And help me to surrender everything. Not even one closet I will keep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are sad in a way that we have missed a lot of opportunities. We were arrogant. We are boasting because we pretended. We thought that we know for a fact that we'll be around tomorrow, but this not so. So please forgive us, Lord. But here we are. We are also grateful that we are still alive. Teach us, Lord, how to count our days the right way. So from now on, we surrender everything and help us to act as if today was our last day. Be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
All to you.
That is exactly our prayer this afternoon. We surrender all. Please accept it. And now as we leave this place, please don't leave us. Dwell in our hearts. And whatever we do and wherever we go, just help us to number correctly our days. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.